Hello, and welcome to Tech Access Democast, Braille Edge 40. Hi, everyone, and welcome to this DemoCast. I am going to demonstrate the Braille Edge 40 today. This is a Braille display manufactured by HIMS Incorporated, and it has been on the market since April of 2012. It is not only a Braille display, but it is also a basic note taker. I am reviewing this before I decide to purchase a Braille display. I'm reviewing three or four separate models, and this so far is the second model that I have reviewed. The first one I reviewed was a Brailliant from Humanware, and to get an idea of the Brailliant, there is a Tech Access DemoCast on the Brailliant from a few DemoCasts ago. So I encourage you, if you're in the market for a Braille display, to listen to that DemoCast. I'd like to take this in three parts, this particular DemoCast. I would like to first describe to you what the unit looks like hardware-wise. Then I would like to describe the functions of the unit itself, because it has a lot of functionality apart from being a Braille display. And then I would like to interface the display with the computer and show you how it works with a screen reader. I do not want to demonstrate the iOS devices at this time because, as of right now, Apple has broken something and some HIMS devices, including this one, don't work well with iOS 5.1 at this point. So until Apple fixes that, this will not be workable, but by the time I decide what to purchase, it will most likely be fixed, so I'm not overly worried. But it does not come into play in this DemoCast. I'm going to talk about what the unit looks like first. We have a unit that's about, 11 inches long, 4 inches wide, and a little over an inch thick, just like the Brailliant. It's a little bit heavier than the Brailliant, but I'm thinking that is because it is made out of plastic. The Brailliant is superbly constructed, and it is aluminum, and you can just definitely tell that it is lighter weight. And plastic is a heavier material, but it's also cheaper. Despite this, I think this is a fairly durable unit, and I'm going to go over the different panels of the unit. We've got the top panel here, and on the left, on the front of the top panel, we've got 40 refreshable Braille cells. I'll note that this comes only in 40 cells at this point. This unit does not come in different denominations. Above the 40 cells, we have 40 cursor routing buttons. And unlike the Brailliant, these are nice big cursor routing buttons. I like the size of them. They're not like little itty-bitty teeny things like the Brailliant or the old Braille lights. Probably the current Focus 40 has similar types of things, I don't know. But these are nice and big. To the left and right of the display, respectively, to the left and right of the actual cells on the display are two scroll buttons. One's on the left and one's on the right. They both do the same thing. You can scroll through portions of text with these buttons up and down. Moving back from the display, we've got a few little lights here that don't really concern us at this point. And then we have a Perkins-style keyboard and some other function keys here. To the left and right of the spacebar on the Perkins keyboard are four function keys, four on the left and four on the right. They include, they're called F1 through F8, and they include Escape, Tab, Control, Alt, Shift, Insert, and Windows and Applications keys. I don't think I got them in the right order, but that's the order, that's what they are. Above these keys are the eight keys of the Perkins-style keyboard. The spacebar kind of bisects these keys. So, of course, going from left to right on the Perkins, we have backspace, 3, 2, 1, 4, 5, 6, and enter. And the space bar, of course, is in the middle. So we've got on the front panel display, cursor routing buttons, moving backwards, function keys and space bar on another row, the row of the remaining Perkins-style keyboard. To the left and right of the main keyboard are one on the left and one on the right, two little circular patterns of buttons. And these are arrow keys, up, down, left, and right, respectively. above these navigational arrow keypads, on the left is a, on the left and right are some LED lights that let you know the status of different things about the unit, and they are letting sighted people know when it's on and that, and whether Bluetooth is active and all kinds of stuff. In between the 1 and 4 keys on the Perkins-style keyboard, we have a little bitty speaker, and that's where the sounds come from. So, LED lights above each navigational row pad, and in between the 1 and the 4 key on the Perkins, just above the space bar, the little mono speaker that the sounds come out of. Now I'm going to describe the front panel of the unit. That is very simple. It's got a power button on the right-hand side. If you hold it in for a few seconds, the power will come on. It will make noises and jingle at you and let you know that it's on. The back panel has several different things on it. Well, two. On the back, more towards the left, back left, not at the corner, but kind of to the left, is a reset button. It is an inset button that you can press if your unit is hanging on you or not otherwise functioning. And on the right-hand side, almost at the right back corner, there is a shutdown button that you press if your unit's really gone into spaz mode. And you have to use a toothpick to press this. It's so small. So be careful. You use a very tiny instrument to press that one. On the left panel, we have the slot where an SD card goes in. It can handle up to 32 gigabyte SD cards. And just next to that, we have a switch that controls whether it is USB or operating on Bluetooth. And it supports Bluetooth 2.0 and, of course, the regular USB connections. And so that's just a rocker switch, which I find kind of nice. And then, going to the right panel, at the back right, we've got the power adapter that you can plug into for AC power. And then underneath that, we've got the micro USB cable connector, where you can connect the cable to. It apparently comes with a USB cable. My dealer model does not. It also did not come with drivers. That was kind of interesting, obtaining those from tech support, but I got there. They are not on the HIMSS website as of yet. There are old drivers for other models, but not the Braille Edge at this point. The generic USB driver works, but the drivers for the specific screen readers, you have to call tech support to get them. They have not updated their website yet. Okay, so I've described to you what it looks like. Hardware specifications, it runs Windows CE 5, because as I said, it's a basic note taker, so it does have a minor word processing functionality built in. And it also has 128 megs of RAM and has a Samsung processor in it. Now that we've talked about what the unit looks like in great detail, I am now going to insert an SD card, I've got one in there, and turn on the unit and show you the different applications on the unit and the different things you can do with it. So I'm going to turn it on here, hold the power button for like 3 seconds. Then you feel the pins go down, so you know that it's coming on. Takes it a second to boot up, and once it does, it says HIMSS International Braille Edge. And it takes you to the main menu. Immediately you are in a menu with the following options. And if you make a mistake or hit a key that doesn't, you know, a key press that doesn't work, or you go up to the top and bottom of a list, you'll hear a little sound. The first option is Notepad, and it gives you the N parentheses, which is a shortcut for that. Notepad, Terminal for Screen Reader, Applications, Options, Information, and that's it. And a couple things about this menu and about Braille Edge menus in general. These are all read in computer grade in computer Braille. You can change the settings for a number of different ways in which this unit presents things. You can change the settings, and I'll get to that in a minute. However, one bug that they have neglected, a pretty significant one, I should say, is that when you turn off the unit, all of these settings change. And I'll show you where you can change a lot of the presentation. So Notepad, Terminal for Screen Reader, Applications, we'll get to that. Options, O. So if I press an O, I get into the Options menu. 8-dot mode, off. View shortcut keys, on. Let's say I don't want that anymore. So I'm going to hit the space bar, turn it off. It says off. View file info, off. it's an I off. Startup mode, main menu. You can change it to new document, recent document, terminal for screen reader at startup, calculator at startup, and back to main menu. And I like the main menu, so I'll leave it there. Play sounds on Braille grade for message G, computer Braille, Braille grade, computer Braille, computer Braille, uncontracted Braille, and regular contracted Braille. I want contracted Braille. Braille table, English, message display time, 3 seconds. Power saving mode, on. That means if you don't use it for 5 minutes, it will kind of go to sleep. View file list, backup, restore, and then we're back to 8-dot mode. I'm going to hit enter. Saved options, it says. And it switches to grade 2 because I wanted to view messages in grade 2. If I turn the unit off, that all goes away and all those settings go away. Additionally, if I want to set the scrolling speed, if I'm in Notepad and reading a document, and set the scrolling speed to higher because it's on 20, it goes from 1 to 36, 36 being the highest. I find 26, which is the default, too slow. I speed it up to 31. Every time I turn the unit off and I turn it on again, going into Notepad, it loses that setting. So hopefully they're going to fix this soon. It seems pretty significant, so I'm going to report it first chance I get. Anyway, on and on and on. So the one thing I want to demonstrate, there are two things. There is a list of applications, and then there's the Notepad. Let's see what applications are in here. So I'm going to hit Enter, which is dot 8. The last on the right-hand side of the keyboard. That's 7 or 8. I think it's 8. So anyway, if I hit Enter on applications, we've got calculator, alarm, date and time, stopwatch, countdown timer, and scheduler. This is sort of like one of the old-timey note-takers. It has all these different little basic things in it, and I'm not going to show you how to use all of them. I will take you into the scheduler, since that's kind of an important thing. And I'll also here show you quickly the Notepad. How do I get out of this menu? Say I don't want to be in here, I want out. That is the job of the far left function key, those four keys to the left and right of the spacebar. The one on the far left is the escape key. I press it, I am back to the message applications. Up a couple times takes me to Notepad. I'm going to open that. Let's open the Notepad. It takes you directly to your SD card and shows you what's on the SD card. It takes you to the folder structure first. So you've got a book. I've got a books folder, and I know it's a folder because it's in quotation marks. I've got a Braille Edge setting folder, and I've got a hymns folder. Now, in the hymns folder, how do I get into a folder? I hit enter. I've got two documents, braille.brl. So these are documents that I was playing with. Braille Edge 40 Manual Hymns Inc.brf, the manual. I put it into Braille format myself because I don't like the way this unit deals with text files. Old-time Braille note takers, like the Braille Light that I had that I loved so much, had a grade 2 mode, and that means you couldn't write into text files in grade 2, but you could read them in grade 2. It was like false grade 2. I mean, you know, it was, they were not actually in grade 2, but it was changing the display so it would look like they were, and that was excellent. This one does not do that. Brochure.brf is another advertisement for the Braille Edge, and then another file. I am going to go into the manual. No, the Braille Edge 40 text document I've got here. Text mode. Braille Edge 40 is open. Braille Edge 40, it says. The most powerful and versatile Braille display with the features of a basic note taker. Exclamation point in computer Braille is the. I had forgotten that. So as you can sort of hear from my babbling here, I can only view this text document in its original form. I cannot do like the Phantom G chord and make it into, you know, like fake grade 2 Braille. So I don't want to be in this document. How do I get out? Escape. Hitting the escape key doesn't work. So there is another way. But before I sort of say I don't want to be in here anymore, let's look at the menu structure of a document. How do I get to the menu? You can either do an M chord, which is an M with a space bar, or you can do Alt which is the third from the left, fourth from the left. The key directly to the left of the spacebar is the Alt key. Then you've got Control. Then you've got Tab and Escape going from spacebar towards the left. And refresh your memory again, spacebar from to the right of the spacebar. It's Shift, Insert, Windows, and Applications. Very rarely use the last two keys. So if I hit Alt, it brings up a menu, and it's got File. And if I hit Scroll Down with the arrow buttons on the left and right, or a dot four chord and a dot one chord, we've got File, Edit, Tools, Insert. Those are the main menus. And say I want to go into the File menu. I could look at the options here. New. And these all have similar Windows shortcut keys. So in other words, if I want to do a new file from, I can just do Control N. File Browser. That's where you can look at what files you've got on your SD card. Save. Save As. File Information. Exit. And Exit is pretty much the same as it was in the old time days of the Braille Light, and I think with a lot of note takers. Space Z will get you anywhere. Space Z is the exit chord. Okay, so that's the File menu. I hit Escape to get out of that. Now I'm back into the menu list. So I've got an Edit menu here, and we can do a lot of things. You can do a block of text. So for instance, if I want to select a block, I would put my cursor at the beginning of the file, the part where I want to select. I would push down the Control button and hit B, and it would start the block. Then I would put my cursor at the end of that block, and it would bring up, it would highlight the text with dots 7 and 8, so I would know what I was selecting. And then I could do any number of things. Control C for copy, Control X for cut, all of that. Control V for paste. It's all there, just like with Windows. Delete, D-chord. I could select everything with a Control A, just like with Windows. This is so nice because it's all kind of like Windows-ish. The Tools menu is interesting. If I go into Tools, we've got a Find. You can do a Search and Replace, and you could search backward and forward for various things. You can replace, Control F, Control R, set a mark, Control M. I have done this. You can set a mark from A to Z. And let's just pretend I'm setting a mark here. Enter. Enter a mark between A to Z. Let's enter B. Successfully set mark B. I don't even know where it is, and that's not even, I don't even really care that much. I want to get out of this document and go back in it and see if it's even there. So I hit Z, Control up Z chord to get into the notepad, out of the notepad. Now I'm going to hit it again. And I'm going to go back into my brochure document that I was in before. Oh no, I was in BrailleEdge40.txt. And I'm going to go to the mark. And how exactly do I do that? Well, I'm going to go to the Tools menu and go to a mark. I could have done Control J, but I did it long ways through the menu because I couldn't remember the shortcut. And I am going to go to mark B. And there it is. It's there. Now, the other day when I set a mark in a file, I turned the unit off and turned it back on and the mark was gone. So I'm not sure if this is, it always happens because I didn't actually turn the unit all the way off this time, or if it's just an occasional thing, but it just seems like when you turn it off, it's more like a hard reset than just a simple turn off because a lot of things vanish. Okay, so menu. Is there anything else I wanted you to look at in breezing through? Oh yes, the insert menu. Underneath the tools menu, we've got insert. And you can insert your date, insert your time, and you can do a lot of these by using the insert button with different things. Calculate. Insert a calculation. And that's kind of cool. So you can insert a calculator result, incidentally. So essentially what happens with that is I don't want to do whatever it was I was just doing. No. Go away. You take and type in a calculation in computer Braille and then just do like insert R and it will calculate the sum or calculate the result, which is kind of nice. And I just accidentally added an extra character in there, and it asked me if I want to save it when I exit. I put the cursor routing button on no and hit enter. And it takes me back to the notepad once again. The main menu, when you first turn on the display, has the word notepad at the very top. And that's where it took me. And so that's basically it. I want to go back into the notepad for just a second because I forgot to show you how to read a document, scroll through and read a large document. So I'm going to go into the hymns folder, find Braille Edge Manual 40, the Braille Edge 40 Manual Hymns Inc.brf, and go into it. Braille Mode, Braille Edge 40 Manual Hymns Inc. Okay. Escape key. You can also type the shortcut key displayed after the menu item to immediately jump to and execute that item. That's where I'm at right now. Now, as I said earlier, the two keys to the left and two keys to the very right of the display both go up and down by line or by display length. What if I just want to scroll and keep on moving it forward and forward and forward? Well, then I hit them both at the same time. And it repeats the display line you're on, can open as, blank line, keeps moving, read only, recent document, copy, paste, cut, delete, new folder, new, file, rename, find. See how slow that is? So I'm going to speed it up just a hair by doing the shift right navigation button a few times. Then it stops. 3.4, menu documents. Move to the folder in which you want to create the document and press Ctrl+N.345 or execute the new file option under the main menu. See, that's better. The reason I did it with the Shift key, which that is the key directly to the right of the space bar, Shift and then Insert, is because when I do that with the menu item under Tools and Settings, I'll show you where it is. It doesn't seem to stick. So, in other words, I've got File, Edit, Tools in Notepad, Find, Replace, Set a mark, go, settings, control E. View special characters, change level of up, down, arrow element. Set read only off. Change view of up, down, arrow, line, sentence, or paragraph. So in other words, these little bitty arrow pads up at the top left and right corner of the screen. If you move the arrows in certain directions, you navigate by certain element lengths. Set read only, auto scroll speed, and I've got it on 32 right now, which is a little slow, but if I go in, and you can also, you know, I was doing the four chord and A chord and four chord to go up and down, but you can also use these navigation keys, little arrow pads to go in and out of menus with left and right and up and down through the menu choices with up and down, which is kind of cool. And you can advance the scroll speed with space and decrease it with backspace. I'm on 31, but see, then I go out of the menu. I set it to 30. I go out of the menu with enter, setting complete. But then when I try and scroll again, it will not stick. New document named noname.brl/noname.txt is created, and we're back in the manual. Okay, so I wanted to quickly show you how to go and read and scroll through something and change the scrolling speed. You have two ways. You can do it with the unit itself, or you can do it with the menu. Now, to navigate, to change the elements you navigate by, line, paragraph, page, etc., you can go up to the little navigation round pad things at the top corners, and if you hit right arrow, you will go from line to paragraph to page, which is defined as 25 lines. And then if you use the up arrow, it will go back, and down will go forward by that certain amount. There are some options you can execute from anywhere within the Braille Edge, or almost anywhere. Say, for example, I want to check the time. I can do a space T all at the same time, and it will give 20:47:31, Saturday, June 9th, as the time. And one thing I do not like is, A, it abbreviates the months, so you only get the first three letters of a month, which I think is kind of dorky and unnecessary. And two, it only displays military time, so 24-hour time. So, you know, no AM or PM, which is kind of weird, actually. Usually you get a choice. But this doesn't seem to offer that. Oh, well, more things to add to the list of things I'd like to see in the firmware. Another one is P-Cord, space P, to look at the battery percentage. And now I'm at 61% charged using battery, it says. And if you're using a USB, it will say using USB. Space S will give you the space on your SD card. And there are a couple others that you can do from anywhere within Notepad. To get out of displaying these when they're there, to make them go away, you hit the escape key, which is F1. Now I'm going to exit Notepad with a Z cord, and it takes me back to that main menu of the display. Notepad, terminal for screen reader, applications, options, information, all that. I'm going to go into applications. I'm going to hit it with the navigation pad. I'm choosing my method of navigation here. Hitting the right arrow in applications, it's going in. We've got calculator, alarm, date and time, stopwatch, countdown timer, scheduler, and that's it. Now, I'm not going to show you how to use all these. A calculator, you can do very basic addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. You can also do exponents, but that's about as mathematical as it gets. It's very simple. Alarm, you can set the alarm. And set time, you can set the time in there. You can set the time of the alarm. We'll ask for the time. I don't want to set an alarm. I'm not exactly sure what it is that I'm doing. Term off. Set the time, how often it will occur, every day, weekly, once, or off. Duration, you can set the duration of the alarm, the wake-up call times, you know, how many times you want it to repeat. And I'm going to get out of the alarm because I don't want to be here. I exited that. Set date and time. This is one of the very most important ones, and I do know that my time is off. So I'm going to go in there with enter, date, and time. The time itself, hang on, I am going to press the menu, set, control S. Time, 2050. So at this point, I am going to use the little arrow keys to get my minutes set correctly, because my computer says it's 8:52, so I got to get it to 2052. So there, I did that by using the little arrow pad there. Saturday, June 9th, I got that right. And it puts the cursor over the thing that it wants to change. So if you want to change the hour rather than the minute, you move your cursor to the hour. If you want to change the month rather than the day, you move your cursor to the day and hit the little arrow to change the date. So have fun with that, setting the date and time. I exited. Let's see. Applications. I breezed through that. Stopwatch, you can do. Countdown timer. And a scheduler. The scheduler is interesting. First, it brings you into the month of June, and it shows you the days leading up to today. So it's got the 9th in parentheses because it shows you that today is the 9th. If I go into the menu, I've got the following options. New appointment, modify appointment, view all appointment, search appointments, delete appointments, copy appointments, backup appointments, restore appointments, and exit. And of course, they've all got shortcut keys and hotkeys. And I went into view appointment, and it says there is no appointment. Let me try and schedule an appointment just to show you how it works. New appointment. I'm going to schedule one. New appointment, it says. Time. It gives you the time. And okay. Then you hit enter, and you have alarm time, time of appointment. It may go off. The subject of the appointment, this I don't want this appointment. And I now have an appointment called 2 with a date of Saturday, June 9th, 2012, that I want to delete. So how do I do that? Menu, alarm time. I want out of here. I hit escape and it canceled it. But you can, of course, delete it by going into the menu. And you can see the appointments and it will delete them all. Or, you know, view. You can view all or view none or only view certain ones. And This one does not have a subject. And so now I've got some choices for actions I can perform on it. And I can delete it. Delete it by doing a Control D. Control is the one next to the Alt key. Whoops, get out of the menu there. And Control D. It goes away. Delete appointment, yes or no. Cursor is on yes. Delete completed. There we go. All right, so now I showed you the schedule there, scheduler, and let's see. You don't need to stop watching the countdown timer, kind of self-explanatory. Let's go into countdown timer anyway. We've got it going to 50. Let's get it going to 30 seconds. I keep pushing the up arrow and it keeps taking me back seconds. 30 seconds. And I'm going to hit enter. And it's counting down. And you can see the cursor blinking, or the seconds ticking off, 25, 24. And it goes hours, minutes, and seconds. You can set it for, like, you know, double-digit hours and it'll be fine. And it's going to go off now in approximately 13, 12, 10 seconds. This is really handy. I love timers. I use my phone for a timer all the time because my oven timer is crap. Oh, there's a little sound. And I hit enter and it stopped the little sound. It actually isn't that loud of a sound, come to think of it. I wonder if the alarm sound is louder. I also wonder if the alarm and stuff works if you've got the unit off. When I had my Braille Light 40, the alarm would... Oh, God, it was this raucous, shrieking mess. But it would actually turn the unit on when the alarm, you know, when it was time. So I didn't have to leave it on all night. And, of course, stopwatch. And you've seen all the applications. So now I think the only thing left to really demonstrate, since you've looked at the notepad, you've looked at the options and the applications, I'll just touch on the information. You can see how much you've got on your USB card, your power status, software version 1.0, build 21202404 or something, Bluetooth name. And the pin for the Bluetooth. When you go into information, hit escape to get out of information and back to that main menu. And the only thing of the main menu that I have not demonstrated is the terminal for screen reader, which I will do right now. Now we're going to take this for a quick spin using JAWS, and I'm going to go through a step-by-step kind of little guide about what you need to do to configure it. First, you need the correct drivers, and once you have them, you've got both a generic USB driver and a driver for your specific screen reader. Once you have them, you can install them. I would recommend installing the generic driver, USB driver first, and then the driver for your specific screen reader. I've got JAWS here. And once you've got that installed, you're going to need to go into your screen reader's menu that talks about Braille and select the Braille Edge as your Braille display of choice. I'm going to do that with JAWS. I'm going to... Go
JAWS context JAWS. Menu options submenu utilities op, basics, basics dot, 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 voices braille, braille. Dot, dot, dot. Leaving menus braille basic settings dialog right. The active braille display is the legend ruler
it
default.
Takes me to the active braille display list and I've got five here but you're going to tell it what you want
modify settings dot, 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 button.
You can modify the settings that basically tells it JAWS that you want it to go either to USB or Bluetooth
show braille
and
error check box
it on
not checked
USB.
Translation table add braille display dot, 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 button
you can add another one
advanced dot, 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 button.
This is where you modify the settings for the display for all applications. I just selected the port and selected my display.
OK button.
And I hit OK.
Gold wave, untitled one.
Now, it does not mean that JAWS is going to automatically start using the display to output Braille. You've got to have the terminal mode selected for screen readers in the Braille Edge menu. When you start up the display, it will... ask you what you want it to do. You remember that menu, notepad, options, applications, terminal mode for screen reader, and you select the terminal mode for screen reader. You've got that done. You set the Braille display in JAWS as Braille Edge for the default. Then you, it will not automatically start inputting Braille or outputting Braille. You need to unload JAWS and load JAWS again, and then it will start to work, provided you've got that terminal mode set. Oftentimes, if you've set it already once, you plug in the USB cable to the display, and it's already, of course, plugged into your computer, it will be intelligent enough to automatically determine you want it to be used as a terminal for a screen reader. So that has worked for me. Now, I have not unloaded JAWS because my display is, it's actually working. I started JAWS up and it started to work and do Braille stuff. Now, I am in GoldWave. It is currently displaying Untitled 1 because that's where I'm at. I'm going to talk about setting more advanced settings for the display. So let's go back into
JAWS context menu, option sub menu.
Braille.
Basic voices, Braille dot dot dot. Menu bar, leaving menus, Braille basic settings dialog.
To make sure that these settings are set for
modify
all applications.
Settings, dot, show Braille load, translation, add Braille display dot dot, advanced dot 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 button.
Going to advanced.
Default all applications, JAWS settings center dialog. Preview,
right.
Braille open, five items.
All applications. All right, so Braille is open. And I've got the following options. And the Brilliant had these same
one, general, closed,
options.
1 of 5.
General,
Braille marking,
Braille
cursor,
marking,
closed.
Cursor.
Flash messages, closed. Advanced, closed. Flash cursor, Braille marking. General,
so,
closed.
Under general,
open, 10 items. 2, translation, closed. 1, general, open, 10, 2, translation, closed. 1 of 10, Braille mode, speech history.
This is very important. You've got the Braille mode. Speech history, you can choose to view the display in several different ways. Speech history.
Line, 1 of 3.
Line.
Structured, 2 of 3.
Structured.
Speech history, 3 of 3.
Structured and line.
Define structured mode, dot, dot, dot.
You can define the structured mode, and there are times when that's really useful, like on web pages. The speech history, it's going to display everything that the synthesizer says. If you, of course, have JAWS muted, it will act like it's going through a synthesizer when it's not, and it will be the same kind of deal.
Read-only edit. Structured mode provides descriptive information about the dialog box or control that currently has focus. This option allows you to define the Braille symbol messages.txt updated. Message structured mode provides descriptive information about the dialog box or control that currently has focus. This option allows you to define the Braille symbol and state properties for each control and the Braille representation for HTML attributes that appear on the Braille display. For example, for each control that appears in the dialog box, you can decide what information displays, the order in which it displays, and how it is shown. This is useful in dialogs and spreadsheets that allow you to view several items at once that may not be on the same line on the screen. Press spacebar to open the dialog box.
And, you know, then the description continues, but that's basically
preview,
what it is.
Preview, structured mode, dot, 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 free of pen.
You can define
panning
it.
Closed.
Panning. This is, so we've got, okay,
translation
Braille.
Closed.
Translation.
Braille mode, speech
Braille
history.
Mode.
Define structured mode, dot, dot, dot.
Define your structured
panning
mode.
Closed.
Panning. This allows you to tell the display in what, how to move when it's displaying large amounts of text.
Panning open, 6 items, 3, user pan mode automatic, 1 of 6.
It tries to be intelligent in determining how to best fit everything on the display.
Fixed panning increment 32.
You can set that to a different increment. That means that 32 cells will be used on the display at one time to pan to display actual text.
Auto pan mode, maximize text after cursor.
You can maximize the text after cursor.
Auto advance interval 500 milliseconds.
You can, the auto advance is 500 milliseconds.
Auto pan mode, maximize text. Auto advance interval 500 milliseconds. Braille presentation and panning use DOM except in edit controls.
I'm not sure what that does. Again, these you can pretty much tell that these options are pretty universal, regardless of which display
reverse panning
you're using.
Not checked.
Reverse
panning. 2, panning open, 6 items.
That.
3, user pan mode automatic. 1, 2, panning closed. 4 of 10.
Closed.
Active cursor follows Braille display not checked.
You can tell the Braille display to follow the active cursor. The cursor to follow the display.
Braille display follows active cursor checked.
Vice versa.
Enable Braille auto detection checked.
You can enable Braille auto detection. So, in other words, when you hook the display up, it will automatically
detect it. Display text Braille mode not checked.
Display text in 8.braille mode. Sometimes it does use dot 7 and 8.
Enable Braille sleep
things.
Mode not checked. Enable word wrap checked. 1. Braille
word
marking 2 of 5.
Braille
closed. Braille 9
marking
of 20.
And Braille marking.
Braille
so
closed.
That's all the Braille. Those are
JAWS
settings that you're going to be
cancel but no button
using. And it's asking me, I'm sorry, if I want to save these
yes
changes.
Button.
And I'm saying
preview.
Yes.
Braille basic settings dialog. The active Braille display is for legend reader.
Yeah,
advanced
yeah.
Dot 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 button.
Okay.
Gold wave. Untitled 1.
And now, I have set it up, and let's do a couple
desktop.
Of different things. I've gone to my desktop, and
Flexic transfer for pocket.
I can look at all the items on my desktop. But I'm going to go into a document.
Inbox window, Braille Edge 40 manual hymns.doc compatibility mode Microsoft Word. Braille Edge 40 manual hymns.doc compatibility mode Microsoft Word. Print edit.
And it says edit. And now I can use the display itself to navigate the document. I don't have to use the keyboard.
Page 64. Control page up. Space 126.
And I've gotten into a command summary of the different commands you can use with the screen reader and the display. I found a couple of them very awesome. One in particular, if you want to switch from speech history to structured mode, For example, it's a little bit better with web pages in structured mode. You can go through on the display without having to have it talk to you and say everything that's going on. You can just hit dot one.
Attributes.
Then it will display line. The attributes, which is really weird. Display by line.
Structured.
Structured
speech history.
Speech history. So you can just keep hitting dot one and it will cycle between those. If you want to read through the document line by line, it's dot one chord and dot four chord, or these arrow pads, you know, up and down arrow.
Page down, space
in
five,
the
six.
Document.
Control page up, space 1 2 6.
And of course, there's all sorts of other commands you can use. You can go to the manual and find them. So I want to get an idea of how to go through this document. And this document has a list of links that help you navigate it. So I'm going to hit the JAWS key plus F7 to go to the list of links. And it will show you what the links are if you keep going through with dot one chord and dot four chord to go through the document. And you're wondering, why is JAWS not talking? I have hit insert space and then S to mute the speech. So I'm just doing the Braille now. It is a very wonderful hotkey. And I've got insert plus F7, and so I can go to the links. So package, the hardware specific, 1.4 physical orientation. Now I'm just hitting the down arrow key, top panel. Let's go to 1.4, top panel. I'm going to hit enter on the display. Okay, and come on, read away. Let's see. The top face of the unit contains the keyboard and Braille display. Along the, this is where it gets a little weird, like I'm not quite sure how these lines work. Along the top of the panel are 40 refreshable Braille cells, just above the Braille cells. So you need to use the little arrow pads on the sides to go down, and then the right arrow will read the rest of the line. There will be I'm certain, a more efficient way to pan this and to make this read correctly. It seems like when I'm auto-scrolling, I get to read half the line, and then it automatically goes to the next line instead of giving me on the display the rest of the line. I know I'm doing something wrong because it was doing this with the Brilliant too, and so it must be an obvious thing that I'm missing with both of them. So I've got it to at least, you know, start reading, and I can use the little navigation keys to go forward lines and paragraphs and things, just like I would if I was reading an application in the notepad. Now, one other thing that's really nifty is, I've gotten you through a document sort of halfway. Now, what if I want to go to a web page? And I've got one open here, and I'll show you how the web page works. I've got one with a lot of text on it. All right, so I'm going to the website, and I'm in structured mode. So it says Google, and then it says ED for edit field. If I was using speech history, it would spell all of this out, and that's kind of annoying. Google search BTN for button. I really do like structured mode for web pages. The Brilliant had the same thing. They all do, I think. Now I'm going to enter a web page, Control O, and I'm going to go to the Bard website because it has a lot of like text and headings and links on there. And Bard, in case you don't know, is Braille and audio reading download service from the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. I'm typing that in right now, and then let's see, please log in, please log in, please log in, says the display, Bard application instructions, whoops, LNK for link, tab home, hang on, okay, email address, edit field, ED, I'm putting that in, it's a secure site, so I have to enter my password, log in, BTN, waiting. Lists books alphabetically. Yeah, okay, we're here. Not exactly sure how it got to there in the middle of the page, but Bard main page, I'm at the top. The North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped icon. Yay! Bard main page, H1 for heading level 1. Find books, H2 for heading level 2. Recently added books, H3. And we know it's a link. It says LNK, but it also says it's also highlighted with dots 7 and 8. A list of books added in the last 30 days. How am I moving it? I'm either using the down arrow or the little arrow navigation key. I like to use the navigation keys as much as possible on the left and right side of the display because you don't have to move your hands much. They sort of operate similar to the thumb keys on the Brilliant. I do like those thumb keys. Moving popular books, H3, heading level 3. Okay, let's go to the search field. I know there is one, so I'm going to search the collection, ED for edit, and the cursor is blinking right where I should enter the text. There is a blinking cursor, dot 7, blinks up and down. And so that's where you know that you start entering text. And I'm using the keyboard here. I'm going to search for, I want to read about the Hatfields and the McCoys. I've gotten this like thing on where I think it'd be cool to find out about them. So I'm going to put Hatfield, F-I-E-L-D. I have exited the form field, so it says virtual PC here. I'm going to search. I hit the go button, go BTN, and I'm waiting. I've got the display. Selection by keyword, displaying items 1 through 4. Then it goes North Carolina Library for the Blind. I don't want all that, so I'm going to go barred books containing keyword, Hatfield, H2. I'm going to move along. 4 records will be displayed. 0 in the title link, 0 in the author link, 0 in the subject link, and 4 in the narrator or annotation link. And 0 in the narrator. Okay, now the cursor remains blinking at the beginning of each line, displaying items 1 through 4. Okay, keeping going. Start over is a link, and it's got a V with an underscore, a V there. VL? Visited link. Okay, I see. It's a VL. In the title, 0 books, H2. In the author, 0 books, H2. In the annotation, 4 books, H2. So, okay, I'm going to show you one last thing. I kind of showed you how the abbreviations worked on the web page. And now let me show you the way in which you can pick up toolbars and headings and things. Insert F6, and it will highlight them. And I am on the heading that says No Time for Mother's Day, 4 of 4, 8 of 11. Okay. Level Storm Runners, 4, 9 of 11. That's kind of weird. It says Level Storm Runners, 4, 9 of 11. It means heading level 4, Storm Runners, 9 of 11 headings. That's kind of odd. I'm going to have to put that in as a bug. 0 books, 3, 2. It doing that for all of them. That's really odd. Okay, so we know how it does headings. Now let's look at a list of links. Links level 0 in the title, 1 of 16. Links level 0 in the author, 2 of 16. Links level 0 in the subject, 3 of 16. And I'm hitting down arrow, but you can, of course, hit the down arrow on the navigation pad or space dot 4 or the down arrow navigation button. 14 characters. I'm not. Yeah, okay. Level, oh, the 4 of 16. All right, so we kind of understand how to do that. I can hit the escape key on the display or the escape key on the keyboard to get out of that. Now, it's worth noting that the keys on the display, the function keys, do various things, and I'm not sure quite what, but I do know that dot 1 and dot 1 switches between structured mode on the fly. Dot 2 and 3 talk about the cursors, I think, and some of the other dots do different things if you press them on the keyboard. And so that's very handy. You can switch various simple settings on the fly. Without having to keep, you know, switch between the JAWS and PC cursor and between structured mode and speech history. So one way in which speech history is very beneficial is if you want to read tweets and you're using the Cube or Quitter and you want to read them. Well, if you use structured mode or attributes or line, it's focusing on what's being displayed on the screen. And if you want to use, if you're reading tweets in those applications, there's nothing on the screen because of the way they're constructed. So speech history is really the only way you're going to get a tweet. And I've got tweets here. Ooh, I have a new mention. 2 of 712 items, which means I've got another one. And so that's the way you get tweets to be read. I'm sorry this has been so unorganized. I wanted to take you through some various things using a screen reader. Turns out I still have a lot to learn. But I showed you some of the basic settings, how to set your Braille display to be efficient, how you can use it and change some settings on the fly in JAWS and the Braille display if you want to set different things to work different ways at different times. It works similarly to the Brailleant. It does similar things. I'm not sure about writing text directly into the display, into a program like Notepad or Microsoft Word, but it probably is something that they can work on if they haven't already done that. So I'm going to turn JAWS back on. There we go. The speech, that is. And we're going to go
Windows Live Mail. Gold Wave.
Into Gold Wave. There we go. And I'm going to end this demo cast by simply saying it's been wonderful. Thank you for bearing with me through all of it. So thank you very much for listening. If you have any questions or comments, please, as always, feel free to email us at techaccessweekly@gmail.com. We'll see you next time. To get involved, send email to techaccessweekly@gmail.com. Follow TA_weekly on Twitter or call 260-2-ASK-TAW 227-5829.